Going off-grid has become a catch phrase in the last decade or so, but what does it really, truly take to accomplish it? I'm Jill Najeau, and this is the Ideas Network. Our guest today has succeeded in going off-grid and has written a book to help you do the same thing. With us is David Welder. His new book is called Forth to Basics, A Guide to Going Off-Grid and Living More with Less. Have you gone off-grid? What has your experience been? What questions do you have about the process? Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. David, welcome.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Jill. Thanks for inviting me.
You bet.
And hello, Wisconsin.
Well, we loved your book.
And beyond.
And beyond, that's correct. Before we get into the weeds here, let's just talk about the term off-grid. What does that actually mean?
Well, for most people, it just means you're off of the electric grid and you're not getting electric power from elsewhere. In addition, we live a little more primitively in that we don't have indoor plumbing. We have an outhouse. We have water. But most of our energy is from our solar panels. And if we need more, we just crank up a generator for a few minutes.
So definitely a little bit more than what we think of as off-grid.
Yeah, it's the catch term these days.
Sure.
And we're just using the best knowledge we can glean from the past and use some high-tech knowledge and put them together. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing it for 7 years, and it's been great.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You wrote in your book that you were inspired by a documentary, a PBS documentary that I think a lot of our listeners will be familiar with. Well, why don't you tell us about that?
Yes. Dick Prenicke did the film, I guess, is called, what is it called again?
Into the...
Yeah, I forgot the name of it already.
I got a
brain fade here. But
Alone in the Wilderness.
Alone in the Wilderness.
Yes. I've got the book.
Yeah.
David doesn't have his book.
He built this cabin in Alaska by himself and lived there for many years. And a lot of people have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it when I was a kid, and I thought, whoa, wonder if I could do that.
And you did it.
And I did it.
Yeah.
And I did it with Veronica, my wife, and we love it. And now we know we can do it.
Yeah. So what finally pushed you and your wife to make this leap from, you know, were you in like the city?
We were living in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Had been for 20 years. And it was just a struggle to make ends meet, as everyone knows. And we just decided, well, what's the least amount we could get by with while still being comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
And took a lot of thought, and finally we just jumped. It was mainly financial, but there were other reasons, many mm-hmm. other reasons.
So doing what you did together, that could break up a lot of people. Has it strengthened your relationship?
Yes.
It has.
Yes, it has. Veronica's nodding. Well, if you get through some hard times together, you definitely.
Sure, sure.
And I wouldn't say it was all hard times.
Yeah. Now, if someone's doing this, maybe not with a spouse, but with another person or a group, what should they be thinking about before they even do anything?
Well, they should plan, do a lot of planning. Look to other people who've done it. There's a lot online. There's books out there. Just study it. Also, you know, ask your elders. My dad lived till 95. He told me about life in Wisconsin in the 20s and the 30s. That wasn't easy.
No.
And so I learned a lot from him. I learned from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So what made you want to write this guide for other people? When did you feel that you were actually ready to do that?
Well, about the time I was finishing our house, it was 2020, and I had one of those Noah moments where I was finishing the roof and heard about the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was resting my bones for a while because I was kind of sore from building Veronica too. And I was just thinking, I need to get some of these thoughts out of my head and down on paper. And it just came to me, and I put together a good team, a great graphic designer, Anakin Fuller, and just made it happen.
Mm-hmm. And really, the graphics are beautiful. Lots of pictures too, which I'm sure people appreciate in a guide like this. A lot of asides and, you know, how to make a good campfire.
I'm going
to try your process.
I wanted to lay down some common sense.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Pun intended, but mm-hmm. common sense, because really that's what you need, don't you, to survive?
Yeah. Well, more than that, you need good sense.
Mm-hmm. Not true.
I don't know if common sense is always good.
It's not as common anymore as the good common sense.
Yeah, I've been struggling with that one, but.
So I thought it was really neat that you mixed in stuff about like how to build a shelter and sanitation and whatnot, but you also talked about the mental aspect of it. Why was that important to you to include?
Well, often that's the biggest part, is the mental aspect. I always go back to the saying, whether you think you can or cannot do something, you're right.
Yes, that's always a good one.
I had to convince myself I could do it, or mm-hmm. we could do it. I didn't have to convince Veronica. She was ready. So, you just go for it.
Does it take a special kind of person to do that? Do they need some kind of traits or skills?
Well, I was blessed with an artistic brain and you know, hand-eye coordination, so I was able to build this without a lot of training. I mm-hmm. asked a lot of people, is this, what is the code on this?
Well, that's so important, right?
Yeah, so I just kind of built it as I went along, learned as I went, and, you know, you become an expert by the time you're done.
It's very true. So what's with the name Forth, as in F-O-R-T-H, to basics? Where did that come from?
Well, back to basics is what I was shooting for, but that was already taken, by the way. It's a really good book, too. I recommend it.
Okay.
Forth is going forward, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to mm-hmm. go forward, use some common sense. But don't be afraid of high technology if it's useful.
Mm-hmm.
We have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, that's part of your survival tools, right? Being able to use things like that.
Yeah, without mm-hmm. Wi-Fi out there, I couldn't have written the book.
Right.
I couldn't do business. I couldn't. Well, I could, but it would be much more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Because you rent out your original shelter, don't you? Like on a short-term rental type of thing.
Yes, we were actually going to live in that cabin. That was our retirement plan, and then we realized, well, we can make money with this, and we can share our land and our beauty with others, and we can also build another house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like to just keep building, but it was the right thing to do. And I was able to use my knowledge of energy and environment to build it without ruining the environment around us and without, making it too expensive.
Is it possible just to go kind of off-grid? Using it in the broad sense of the word. Some of the things that you used in your home, you don't have to do all of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. In fact, we have many friends in the city that could benefit from some of these tips. If you're on grid, well, I'd say stay on it until it gets too expensive for you. But in our case, it was either that or spend $20,000 bringing in a line. You'd have to cut down a couple hundred trees. It's like, no way.
Yeah.
We've got solar now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got other things that work.
Yes. What are some of the other benefits of being out there off the grid?
Oh.
Keep going.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. Well, you're in nature for one thing. You're at the the tap. You're drinking from the tap where the oxygen is made. There's health benefits, mental health benefits for sure. Financial benefits. We reduced our overhead by half, almost half.
And you've got a chart in the book
that shows that.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah, I think everybody should actually grab a pen and paper and figure out what their overhead is and where they could trim down.
That's a really good idea because I think a lot of times we just don't realize where the money is going. So
I never knew how much I was spending for food until I actually started tracking it.
Yeah, definitely. So for those who don't have land, what should they be looking for when they are looking for a property to do this like you did?
You've got to do a lot of homework, first of all. I do have some guides and some links in there for finding land. It is difficult. If you wanted to just find a five-acre chunk of land, forest, it's probably going to be hard. Some land, they only sell 10 or 20 acres, and so you've got to have a chunk of change to do that. I have tips. It's not easy, but it can be done. People do it. I would say just look for if there's good water there. That's very important. It's more than just the view. It's water. I'd even go talk to the town government and just ask them what the pitfalls are, what are the requirements. Because they do change between counties and townships.
They do. It's crazy how much they do. We're talking with David Weber about his book, Fourth to Basics, A Guide to Going Off-Grid. What questions do you have about living more with less? Join in by calling 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Clara Neipert is our on-air producer today, and Tyler Ditter is our technical director. Stay with us at 11:45. We're going to talk with forager extraordinaire Sam Thayer about his new field guide. And before we go on, I'll let you know that it's David Welder. I was saying it wrong. Well, I wrote it down wrong, so all my fault. And the book is right in front of me. So anyway, let's get back to some questions. And please, if you've got any questions for David about how he did it, or maybe how you, in your area, can help be a little bit more self-sufficient. Lines are open, 800-642-1234. So you talked about digging a well. Obviously, water is really, really important. So how did you get water to your location?
We use water from three sources. We actually still buy water for drinking. We have a sandpoint well, very simple. You can't use that in every situation. Some cities, townships don't like that. If you live by a lake or water, they don't really like that either because they don't want you poking holes, you know, and potential spots where pollutants can get into the water. So the sandpoint is good. We don't use it a whole lot. Mm-hmm. We actually capture a lot of our rainwater for washing dishes, clothes, whatever. But typically we do have a jug of water a day per the both of us, each of us. You know, and it's about, $1.25 now? A gallon, and I don't like using all that plastic, but it works.
Right. I think you can go to some supermarkets and get your bottles refilled, can't you?
Yes.
So, that's a good way of doing it, too. So, have you been having any problems because of the dry summer and spring we've had so far?
None other than our physical problems.
Hay fever.
I have hay fever, and it's not comfortable. Oh. But no, not really. Our garden's okay. We have a 300-gallon tote of rainwater we can water with when it gets too dry.
Garden do you have?
Oh. Well, it's around our house. It's not huge.
Okay.
We It's, I don't know how big I would say.
Why did you decide to go around the house instead of having a, you know,
because the rainwater is all there.
Ah,
you can have barrels mm-hmm. and totes, and then, and you can also watch your garden
mm-hmm.
For deer and
that's
whatnot.
True.
Yeah, it's not that big. I would say we could probably get about $500 worth of food out of it
okay.
per year, but mm-hmm. it's not what you grow, it's what you ultimately eat.
Right, yes.
And I don't know if I were eating $500 worth.
Sure. Well, where do you get your foods then?
We're very lucky because we have a farm supply that has everything down the road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From booze to boots to bread.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it's... It's not like living in Alaska where mm-hmm. you have to fly it in.
Very true. Very true. We've got a call. Bill in Somerset. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Bill.
Yes, just a comment. I live in the country, a couple hundred acres. Grew up not really on a farm, just off. But we are reasonably self-sufficient for the short term. I think there's an advantage in people thinking about how can they do fine for a week or two? I mean, we heat with wood. I can heat the house just with wood without having to have any electricity with the gravity system. And, you know, I have solar and a generator backup. But the idea of how can we do fine for a week or two without the power if we have to?
Okay.
Oh.
Do you have an answer for him, David?
Well, Bill, it sounds like you're doing what we're doing. We've got 400 watts of solar that we use to, you know, run our electronics and things, but we do have a generator too. And if you have to fire up a circular saw, you just plug it into your generator. That works for us. The generator does burn gas, but not as much as you think. It's probably more to just drive into town to get the gas.
Probably.
I think we've been doing this for 7 years, so long term, short term, it works. Mm-hmm. I tell people it's like being at deer camp all year without
true.
All the mess and
yes
and foul language
and smells.
That too.
Yes. So One, of course, of the other things that you need is a shelter of some sort. Did you build before you moved, or how did you do that?
We built as we moved.
Okay.
We had to transition slowly, mm-hmm. carefully. We actually lived in a tent for a while.
I hope it was the summer.
Yeah, it was the summer. We called it the jungle room. And yes, it was at times difficult, but mm-hmm. but... You know,
yeah.
Everything seems difficult till you try it.
That's very true. That's very true. So you built your first shelter, and then you decided to build another one, a little bit bigger, I'm assuming?
Yeah, and we were going to just stop. That mm-hmm. was going to be our retirement home.
Right.
Until we realized, well, we need to make some income.
Yeah.
And we realized with this new hip camp, Airbnb thing, we could do that. Mm-hmm. We could make an income off of our little cozy cabin and then build another one.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly just us. We did have a contractor come in and pour a slab, but other than that, we built the whole thing
mm-hmm.
and tried to use free lumber and free materials as much as we possibly could.
Where can people find things like that? You have some hints in your book.
Free materials?
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Just give us a list.
Just email your friends and say, hey, you got so many boards in your garage you want to get rid of?
Uh-huh.
I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go get them.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
They might not be clean.
Mm-hmm.
They might have bird poop on them, but that doesn't matter.
No, that'll come off.
I used about 3 trailers stacked full of free lumber that way.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is we brought in a sawmill. We had a Amish fella come in and saw up some logs from our land, and we used that.
Great.
And that was very inexpensive.
Yes. So did you do anything different in the new house than you did with the first one because you found it wasn't quite what you needed?
Well, it was quite what we needed, but, you know, bigger is nice. And I also had learned a lot from the earth ships I read about from down in New Mexico. Just look it up on your search engine, earth ships. They're built to, you know, be self-sustaining. And I was able to use some of those theories to build our house. And I was more worried about keeping it cool than keeping it warm, because I knew how hot wood stoves can be and how much warmth
yes,
they provide.
Can.
But I don't like super hot, so I built this big house into a hill, so the north side is in earth, and then the south side has large windows with an eave over them.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is you want to have all the sun coming in the winter and none of it in the summer. And just by going using the earth's heat and the sun's heat, we were able to get by without air conditioning and just wood heat.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a fan. We do have fans, though. That's important.
That's very important. David in La Crosse has a question for you. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi, go
ahead.
Hey, Dave. So I'm sure everything didn't go perfect or wonderful, so I'm sure there's some things that didn't go well. And what would you not do again if you had it to do over?
How much time do we have, Jill?
We've got 15 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Well, I would have had more firewood, and I would have changed my tires last December before the big snow hit, because we were stuck for 12 days, and it wasn't a picnic, really. We try to think ahead as much as we can, but, you know, things happen. So what I would have done different, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything major.
See, David is an optimist. That's why he did this in the first place. Mm-hmm. So he's not remembering the hardships.
Oh, I remember them. I just don't want to dwell on them.
You don't want to dwell on them. Okay. All right. There we go to that mental thing again. So probably the breaking point for a lot of people is that there's no indoor plumbing.
Yes.
What is your system like?
We've gone back 100 years, and we've got an outhouse, and everybody's vision of an outhouse is a disgusting little shack full of flies. Well, sometimes, but we keep it clean, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. One of the things we've learned to do from our forebears is flush with wood ash or wood chips.
Explain what that means.
Well, we just cover it up with a scoop of wood ash that we've pulled out of our wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica actually uses like a fryer basket
to shake out
the good ash.
Sure.
Put that on top, and ash is, you know, it's an acid neutralizer, and it keeps the smell down.
Mm-hmm.
But we also use wood chips, and I've even heard of using cooked cabbage in your outhouse to improve the bioactivity.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
oh,
it is.
Because it's kind of a fermentation?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it does break down quite well.
What about, like, showers or something like that?
That showers are not as frequent, let me tell you that. We don't have a hot shower every morning. There are showering and bathing options. I mean, how did they used to do it? Back in the day,
sure,
you put a pot of water on the stove and grabbed a washcloth and just went to town.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you make a mess on the floor, you just mop it up,
and you're done.
Or you can, in the summer, it's easy. You go outside, hang up a shower bag, and there you go.
Perfect.
There's many ways to stay clean. Mm-hmm. You don't often always need a shower.
Okay, and just so you guys know, David and Veronica smell wonderful. So.
Yes.
No problem. I thought it was interesting in the book where you have a list of there's wants and there's needs. So tell us some of the needs that you have to have.
Well, we all need air,
mm-hmm.
and we take it for granted until just recently. you could only go 3 minutes without air. Water, I think you could only go 3 days.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 days without water. No. No. Food is 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, three days without water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
3 weeks without food. Mm-hmm. Those are the three biggies. You also need some shelter. You need clothing, and I call that portable shelter.
Mm-hmm.
How long can you last without that?
Depends on what time of year it is, but yeah.
At Lambeau.
yes.
needs. And then I had a bunch of things that I said wants or needs, you decide.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a car?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody does. Some of our neighbors don't have them. A lot of our friends and, well, Veronica's kids don't have cars in the city. So, you know, that's a want need.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, Wi-Fi, cell phones, all that is kind of want needs. It's up to you. But you're not going to. You're not going to die without your cell phone, are you?
Well, some people might think so.
I know.
But that is correct. You will not die without it. Unless there's an emergency. We won't go there.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
What kind of tools should someone bring along for this? So you've got limited space, right?
Yeah, I try to borrow tools as much as I can rather than go out and buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you only need them for a while. I do have a list of just basic tools that I used.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the time, most of that house was built with a screw gun, a saw, handsaw, tape measure, pencil, you know. I very rarely powered up a power tool unless
wow.
I was sawing like a plywood panel or something.
Sure.
That's mm-hmm. takes a while yeah. by hand.
It does.
Yeah, and you know, it's not as loud when mm-hmm. you use your own hand tools.
Now, you're using solar for your heating and your power, basically.
Mm-hmm.
How do you collect it?
Well, we started out with what they call like a starter kit solar. It's not really big. It's only 400 watts, and that's 4 100-watt panels. In addition to that, it goes to a controller, which usually you buy with the panels, and then it goes to batteries. And then after your batteries, you have an inverter. So there's four parts to solar.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is very small, but it does run. We were able to charge all our tool batteries, all our 20-volt tool packs. We're able to watch TV, surf the web, communications. What else? It's just you use the solar for the small energy use things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna, we can't have a refrigerator for that reason because that's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to put in a lot more solar. So we actually don't have a refrigerator. We have a very, very well insulated ice box.
Mm-hmm. And you use actual chunks of ice, right?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And believe it or not, even in this weather, a couple blocks of ice will last us a week. So.
Yeah. And you know, Tyler and I were just talking before the show, but people have so much stuff these days. There's more mm-hmm. Storage units going up than houses, I think. What advice do you have for people for streamlining? Because obviously you must have had to do quite a bit when you decided to move there.
Yeah. Well, that is the rub, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If it's worth something and it's very much valuable to you. Most of the stuff that's valuable to us, we have out in the open. We're using it.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a little storage Quonset hut that we set up, but it's mostly, we call it a boneyard. It's just steel and lumber and parts that we might be able to use. I don't believe in storage lockers myself. I just believe in streamlining.
Mm-hmm. So did you, when you went to pack to go, how did you decide what you're going to need for like cooking or, you know, all these different things that you needed? You must have had some kind of way to, I mean, you didn't just pick up everything and just say, oh, I guess so, and pack it in.
Well, we were already in our 50s, so mm-hmm. we already had stuff. You know, our parents had passed away, so we inherited some things. And, you know, stuff just comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it, we didn't really have to buy a whole lot mm-hmm. other than materials. We had tools. But it was just picking through it. Do I need this? Mm-hmm. No. There it goes. Either when the dumpster, not very often, we didn't put a lot in the dumpster, but we either gave it away or donated it.
Mm-hmm. And in a small space, you obviously have to be organized. What tips do you have for keeping a place tidy?
You just got to stick at it. You know, every day, if you let it go for a couple weeks, you could get by, but the flies are gonna come around, and even wild animals. If you've got smells at your place, you're going to bring them in. So, yeah, you've got to just be diligent about it. And every so often, we just do a clean sweep and just gut out the house and then bring back the things you really need and leave the other stuff outside.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And if it's cluttered up outside, then take it to the dump or take it to somebody that needs those things.
Right. Yeah, that's a good tip for all of us. So we are at prime mosquito and tick season. How do you protect yourself from them? Because you can get some nasty diseases.
Well, actually, bugs come and go, and right now I wouldn't say it's the worst part of the year. It's you know, there's flies around and stuff, but the ticks were bad in May and June. They're not so bad now. Ticks do tend to dehydrate and go away when it's very hot. So we don't see a lot of ticks right now. Flies are always around, especially deer flies, because we've got a lot of deer.
Yeah, and they bite.
Yeah, those are the ones I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I don't even go out in the woods, like in August, because they just know there's too much, a lot of bugs there, bees mm-hmm. too. I'd have to suit up like it was going on a spacewalk
sure.
to go outside. But, you know, the other day when it rained, we went out in the forest and frolicked around. I even laid down in the mud and just let it rain on me.
Yes.
It was a good mental health.
Absolutely. I think a lot of us kind of did something like that when the rain hit.
Yes.
So, yeah, we finally got somewhere I live. So Jerry or Nikki in Milwaukee emailed. She was wondering, we talked about finding land to build on. We kind of talked about that a little bit at the beginning, but do you guys own your land, and should people own the land that they build on?
Well, I am a landowner, but I don't like that term. I prefer land tenant, land squatter, because I'm not going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we like to share our land, our experience. It is hard to find land. I was lucky in that my father bought this chunk of land in 1969. 40 acres went for $1,500 back then.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you could buy whatever lots of it if you had that. So it got down to, you know, our finances got down to either sell our houses, because
mm-hmm.
we each had a house in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
Or sell the land.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way I'm going to sell my dad's land.
Yeah.
So we had that heads up.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty helpful.
But actually finding land it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest tip is just look at lots of lots.
Mm-hmm. Lots of lots.
How many lots? Lots.
Yeah, and there's no one place to do it. So
no,
yeah.
Look everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Is there an ideal size as far as like acreage?
I've heard from old timers that if you had 5 acres of wooded land, that's enough to keep yourself heated with wood.
Mm-hmm.
The woods actually grow much faster than you can burn it. Now, if everybody did that, that would be probably bad.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be. But for us, it works. And Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about foraging, you know, and our next guest, like we said, was Sam Thayer, who's got that new guide. Have you done much experimenting with eating wild plants?
We have. And by the way, thank you, Sam, for your books, because we've got them. We don't have the new one, but we have used your books for reference, so thank you. The stuff we eat the most is the lamb's quarter, which is just a common weed that everybody pulls out of their cornfields and throws away, and they're actually as delicious as baby spinach. That's our number one forage thing. Yeah, we've tried a lot of others. It's just that you can't get a big meal out. You might get a taste of some blackberries or whatnot, but it's hard to get a big meal unless you really want to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got berries aplenty, but they're hard to get at.
Yeah.
And the brambles will draw blood.
Yes, they will. I experienced that myself. Yeah. Yeah, there's dangers out there, folks, and that's one of them. So how can people get your book, David?
Right now it's on forthtobasics.com. Mm-hmm. That's the only place. I've been trying to get in business with Amazon, but I've run into a few, I won't call them walls, I'll just call them high hurdles.
High hurdles, okay.
I'm open to suggestions, but it's self-published. I had it printed in Eau Claire, at Eau Claire Printing, and it's a full-color book, a lot of pictures. My wife and I are avid photographers. I used to do that for a living on the side, by the way. So it's right now it's on my site. I'm exploring other options.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should talk to Sam.
You should talk to Sam.
Yeah.
He is a publisher.
Oh
yeah. So I think he does. I'm sure he does. So talk to some of your local bookstores too. I'm sure they would love to have this on their shelves.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I've got them at the local in Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
The Volume 1 store.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some at the Nickel in Osseo.
Okay.
This is an antique shop
mm-hmm.
that we love. I've got them in libraries. I donated a few to libraries.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's not all over the place right now.
Okay, be ready for people to visit your website.
I've got some with me.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, he's in Vilas Hall if you want to catch him when he walks out the door. Again, thank you, David, so much for sharing this with us. We really appreciate you being in. David's book is called Forth, F-O-R-T-H, Two Basics, A Guide to Going Off-Grid and Living More with Less. And again, it's David R. Welder, if you're looking for the name to look it up. And stay tuned because Sam Thayer is just about ready to join us. Thanks for joining us right now on the Ideas Network.